Today is the topic is transplants from live donors. So last week we addressed transplants from dead donors, and today I want to talk about transplants from live donors.
Yeah, how do you work that?
And basically, we're talking about the kidney, the liver, blood, bone marrow. There's organic transplants, inorganic transplants. And the question is, where does the Torah discuss this? Where does the Torah talk about transplants?
Where do we do what?
Where does the Torah discuss transplants?
Oh, I'm sure it's definitely in there.
I mean, it was written thousands of years ago.
The answer is
it's not written explicitly, obviously. But there are certain laws and regulations that govern this as well. So there are two major principles over here. What are the two principles? Principle number one is in Leviticus chapter 19. The Torah tells us, Al ta'amod adam recha. Don't stand by your neighbor's blood. Don't stand by your neighbor's blood. What does that mean? You see someone who is suffering.
You don't let them die.
You treat them.
Treat them. So that's number one. That's the major. That's one of the governing principles over here is not to stand by someone who is suffering. Try and help them. Whatever you can do to help them.
Okay.
So don't stand by your neighbor's blood. That's number one. So therefore, if I can help someone, don't stand idly by. So that's number one. Number two, on the other hand, there's another dialectic. Judaism is always a dialectic. There's always one side here, one side there. The other side, the Torah says, "V'nishmartem me'od nafshotecha." You will guard your lives very carefully.
Your own lives.
Your own.
Absolutely.
Because there's a mitzvah to look after yourself. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, there's a mitzvah to look after yourself. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah to not to stand idly by, instead look after someone else. So you got a dialectic over here. On one side, look after yourself. On the other side, look after someone else. The question is, how do they relate? How do you balance the two? That's a major question. So, the famous chief rabbi of England, Rabbi Jacobitz, is of the opinion that a donor may endanger his life or health to supply a spare organ to a recipient whose life would thereby be saved.
Okay.
Only if the probability of saving the recipient's life is substantially greater than the risk to the donor's life or health.
That makes sense.
In other words, if I can save his life, a 99% chance, and the chance of me suffering is 1 or 2%, it's worth taking the 1 or 2% chance to save his life. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Waldenberg, who was the chief rabbi of the Israel of Jerusalem, he discusses at length the question, whether a healthy person may or must donate his organ.
Or must.
There's a big difference.
Who's going to make the decision?
One second. So, is it just you're allowed to? You're allowed to put your life in danger to save someone else's life? Or do you have to put your life in danger to save someone else's life? So let me just quote you the Code of Jewish Law and the Rambam, who state, they quote the Jerusalem Talmud. There's two Talmuds. There's the Babylonian Talmud, which is in Babylon. And later on, there was the Jerusalem Talmud written in Israel. So the Babylonian Talmud, the rabbis in Babylon had much more time. And they could go at length and discuss issues at length. And therefore, the Babylonian Talmud is, you see all those books over there.
They were in exile.
They weren't persecuted. They were not being persecuted. Whereas the Jews under the Romans were being persecuted. Therefore, the Jerusalem Talmud is like this. Babylonian Talmud is like this. Jerusalem Talmud is like this. So therefore, the Jerusalem Talmud says, one is obligated to put oneself even into a possibly dangerous situation to save another's life. It's a very strict idea that a person is obligated to put oneself into a danger to save someone else's life. However, that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is the majority opinion seems to be that a small risk may be undertaken by the donor if the chances for success in the recipient are substantial. So in other words, there is no obligation. Whenever there's a danger to your life, there's no obligation. But you can. In other words, it's not forbidden. Because really, Jewish law is very careful in terms of protecting one's life. We talked about this a little bit last week, is that our lives are not ours. Whose are they?
God's.
God's. Therefore, that's a very important principle. That's why suicide is not allowed. Suicide is murder. There's no difference between murdering someone else and murdering oneself.
Exactly.
So I said, why? It's my body. I can do whatever I want. Wrong. It's not your body. It was given to us on trust to return to God.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's a very big difference from today's society in terms of people think, you know, there's autonomy. I can do, it's my body, I can do whatever I want. Judaism says, yeah, not your body, it's God's body. And you can't do whatever you want, because murdering oneself is also murder. In a sense, in Jewish law, suicide is worse than murder. Why is suicide worse than murder?
Because you're laughing in the face of God, actually. You gave me this, and it's not worth it, so I'm going to throw it away.
Well,
so
if you murder someone else, God gave him that, and you're taking it away. It's also laughing in the face of God. What's the difference between the two?
But you're doing it personally.
Okay, so there's an interesting point up here. And that is, a person who murders someone can always repent. They can say, I'm sorry.
Once you kill yourself,
yes. Exactly. Once you kill yourself, there's no repentance. Whereas a person dies without repentance. So even though murder, it's very hard to repent from murder. I mean, you can never bring back someone's life. But you can compensate the relatives, you can compensate the family, you can say sorry, you can go to the grave. In Jewish law, you take a minyan to the grave and say sorry in the presence of a minyan. It helps somewhat, apparently. But over here, a guy murders himself, he has no time to say sorry. So therefore there's no teshuva for suicide. In Jewish law, a suicide has got to be buried on the outskirts of the Jewish cemetery. We don't bury them in the middle of the Jewish cemetery, it's not allowed.
It's a sacred ground.
But it depends, obviously it depends on mental health issues and other issues. If the person was healthy and not healthy, if he was crazy, then obviously he's not guilty for suicide.
All right, suicide. What would you say with assisted suicide, where you're not actually, somebody's helping you because of your condition, and you're being assisted by somebody. So is that person the murderer or are you?
Both. I mean, normally the person who can't do it himself, he's not guilty. I can't do it. I can't kill myself. Put the gun to my head and shoot me. So the guilty party is the person who murders. But they just provide you the tools and they're an accessory to the crime. So the doctor says, I'll hook you up, you push the button. So you're killing, a person's killing themselves, but the doctor is guilty for accessory. He's an accessory to the crime. He's aiding and abetting. But that's not Jewish, that's Jewish law. I mean, today it's in certain places of the world. In Holland, it's a mitzvah. In Oregon, they're coming around to euthanasia. Holland is they're doing vast quantities of euthanasia. But
we're going to discuss that.
It's a very important question. Yes, we're going to talk about that. Living wills.
That's another story.
Yes. So anyway, so the bottom line is that you may put yourself into danger to save someone else's life, when the chances of saving is much greater than the chances of something happening to the person. But before that, even, let's get to the minor kinds of transplants. The minor kinds of transplants are not really considered transplants. They're donations of blood, bone marrow. The donation of blood and bone marrow fulfills almost literally the biblical precept. The Bible says, don't stand by your neighbor's blood. I'm giving him blood. Exact.
And bone marrow is
blood. Bone marrow is nearly blood. Same thing as plasma. Same
blood is created. And the bone
that's a good mitzvah.
So it's a very big mitzvah. Don't stand idly by your neighbor's blood. It's a fence. The guy needs blood. Give it to him.
But in those days, they didn't know from bone marrow.
You're right. Yeah, so I'm just saying, the verse, they never knew the application of the verse. But that verse applies to this almost exactly. Almost exactly. Blood donations have been permitted, even for temporary storage. That's what we talked about. Remember we talked about dead donors. Who's here? We talked about dead donors and we said it's only allowed if there is someone right there who can accept the organ. Whereas they cannot store it into a bank and say, okay, maybe 5 years' time there'll be someone to receive it. It's got to be a direct process. Exactly. You can't just donate to a bank because you don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to use it? Not going to use it. And there's a prohibition of defiling the dead. So therefore, it's only when there is someone who is there available to receive the dead is allowed to give. Otherwise, not. However, with blood, you're allowed to donate even to a blood bank. Because it's not so important. So because it's there's no problem. So even temporary storage in blood banks, or even for payment. In Jewish law, we're going to talk about payment. It's a very interesting case about paying for organs. We're going to talk about that. Because that is it's done in the third world. A person needs an organ. They can't get it in America. You got to wait 2 years, 3 years, by the time the guy's dead. So what does he do? He calls up Thailand, Bangkok, India. I say, I need an organ. Can you provide me an organ? And these are good hospitals. They're under American guidelines. And they do $60,000. You get a kidney transplant.
If they can keep it fresh and warm.
Well, whatever they say they are. And apparently it's pretty successful. So the question, that's another question which I'm going to discuss. Hopefully we have time to discuss. But the question now is blood. Answer is yes. Mitzvah to donate blood, no problem, even to a blood bank. There's a mitzvah to donate bone marrow. There's very little danger. And
it's a big thing today.
It's a big thing. And the trouble is, you have to know you're a match. So you have to know you're a match. And if there's a match, there's one in 100,000 match. In the Jewish world, they're always looking. We have unique characteristics. Jews have unique genetics. You have to find a specific kind of Jew to fit another specific kind of Jew.
That's right.
Ashkenaz, Sephardic. It's the blood match is going to be. Now, what about kidney transplants?
Yeah, what about it?
Kidneys.
Very personal.
Kidneys can be used for a longer time after death. So even from a dead donor, you can store it in a bank. Heart.
Allow that.
Well, we didn't say it's allowed. I'm just saying it's possible to be done.
Oh.
It's stored a long time. And therefore, there's no pressure on doctors to prematurely harvest the kidney. Whereas you don't need brain death to come along to harvest the kidney. You need brain death for heart and lungs, but not for kidneys. Kidneys don't deteriorate so rapidly. So you can wait till the guy's dead. There's no rush. Give a kidney.
You can take one lung out.
And kidneys can be supplied quite possibly by living donors quite safely.
Oh, yeah, it's been done.
You give one kidney, you can live for many years on one
exactly.
kidney. So why did God give us two kidneys? Insurance policy.
Just in case somebody needs.
Just in case. Someone
needs it. So he's always on our side.
It's amazing. Hashem gave us two kidneys. We're lucky. We're very lucky.
But somebody, even though if they're close to death, you can still take a lung. They're not dead. You can live with one lung.
You can live with a lung, yeah. Okay. You can take a kidney, though. One kidney.
Right. If you can take the kidney, you can take a lung.
Yes. Okay. Whatever you can live with.
One kidney. 28 years.
So the chief rabbin in Israel allows kidney transplants from live donors. A few years ago they allowed it. The mortality rate of kidney donors was in those days 0.24%. It was 2 out of 1,000. 0.24% is 2 out of 1,000.
Had transplants.
Kidney donors died. 2 out of 1,000 kidney donors died.
But they wouldn't have died necessarily with the kidney. They could have died since, of anything.
Well, of repercussions of the operation, whatever, who knows.
Right. The cause of death doesn't necessarily
blind as a kidney. Well, they donated the kidney and they died. Who are they died of? They died
well,
of
the donor died.
Died. 2 out of 1,000. That's the statistic. 0.24%.
That was what year?
10 years ago.
Wow.
0.24%. However, that's no greater than an amputation. That's the same percentage.
True.
I mean, an amputation or a kidney donor, same percentage. So therefore, the rabbi said it's allowed. It's such a small percentage. 2 in 1,000 is a small percentage. It's allowed to put yourself in danger to be able to save a life.
Her husband is on dialysis because he's kind of just like I thought you didn't. Okay. Shoot.
No, but there's many causes of death, not necessarily.
Yeah, but they're related. Yeah, but I mean, they relate to the operation.
You shoot a clock, you die.
Okay. But it's related. I mean, it's extra risk. It's extra risk. So now the question is it a right or a duty of healthy people to donate? Do you have to or can you? Someone comes over and says, listen, I need a kidney. Can you give me a kidney? You're my match. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're probably the closest match. Will you give me one? Can I give you one or do I have to give you one? So generally prevailing view is to permit it. But not to say it's obligatory.
It's permissible.
It's allowed, but not obligation. Why? Because I don't have to put myself into risk to save another life. I'm not paid to put myself at risk. A policeman is paid to, it's an interesting question about police, fire, they're paid to put themselves at risk. A regular person is not paid to put himself at risk. He doesn't accept upon himself to put himself at risk. And there's an interesting rule, which is, who says your blood is redder than his blood? Who says his blood is redder than your blood? In other words, there's no priorities. We discussed last week a little bit. Even a person's dying. Who says, I have priority more than him? Today in the health system, there's rationing. So now there's only a limited amount of services, only a limited amount of room in the ICU. Who do we put there? A young kid who's suffering or an older person who's going to die?
Interesting. Yeah. Who makes that?
And the answer of Jewish law is, our blood is equal. No one is to say that someone's blood is redder than the other person.
Both of them, they both have equal rights.
They're both equal rights, exactly. But it's a very major question. So now, there are three possible ways of obtaining the organs for transplant. One is by donating an organ, giving it away for the sake of saving another human life, which we said is it depends on how much risk is involved. If there's minor risk, you're allowed to. If there's no risk, you have to. Like blood and marrow, you have to. But if there, in other words, if I know there's someone who needs blood right now, I have to go and give it. Have to. But the trouble is, some people, they won't take blood from. They ask you, are you healthy? Have a cold? This.
They can't take mine. I've had to.
Exactly. Exactly. They won't take. So, like, I have no obligation. I'm pretty. I'm sick all the time. This and that and the other going on. But someone who's healthy has a kind of obligation. If he reads in the newspaper, they need blood for so and so and so. I get emails. They send me emails. So and so is in hospital and needs O type blood. Can you go and give a donation? So then, a person who has O type blood and is healthy would have to go if he really needs it.
If he's healthy.
Now you can go donate your own blood.
So some things are obligatory. Some things are voluntary. If there's danger, it's voluntary. The other way is by buying and selling organs, which, by the way, is illegal in America. It's illegal,
it's illegal
to buy and sell organs in America. It's illegal. Not allowed to.
Well, it's illegal for a reason.
Yes, because it becomes a business, and then who knows?
Somebody's going to kill somebody just to get the organs.
Well, not if they're going to kill. Maybe they can kill themselves. They need money. People need money. So the poor people are going to be taken
from overseas.
They'll do it just to get money to feed their family.
So the other issue is, what about taking organs from prisoners who are on death row? That's what they do in China.
After they die.
Yeah.
Only if they want.
Over here, it's illegal.
That's illegal after they die.
Unless they donate it.
There has to be.
Yeah. Well, you
have to write it down in the.
If they sign it, it's legal. If they don't sign it, even though they're
allowed to do it.
Because there may be an incentive to kill people then. In China, they kill like hundreds of thousands.
I know.
And they take the organs. They don't ask the questions. It's one of the big human rights abuses in China. The capital punishment, they shoot them and then they harvest the organs straight away. Which makes sense in a sense. If the guy killed people, let his body be used to save people. Makes sense in a sense. But on the other hand, they'll be leads to abuse. Same thing with buying and selling organs. The government of America says no, because they lead to abuse. So poor people are at a disadvantage. And the rich people use them to.
You've got
to
be careful of the organs you're taking.
Also. Okay. So now, so let's discuss this a little bit more. So that's American law. Let's go by Jewish law now. So there's three parts to this question. And number one is selling one's organs while one is alive. So basically, we talk about the kidney. You're alive and you want to sell your organ. Is it allowed in Jewish law to sell an organ?
Is it?
Wait
one second. Secondly, is what about fetal parts?
What about what?
Fetal parts.
You know, the word
means fetus. So a fetus, you have a fetus, and it's dead fetus.
I know.
What about buying and selling parts from a fetus? What's wrong with using fetal parts? And, for example, in America, how many abortions a year? 250,000? Quarter of a million, at least. Was it 2 million? I think it's 2 million. In Israel, it's 50,000. So it must be 2 million here. So 2 million abortions a year. How many fetal parts? So why not allow fetal...
To save people's lives.
Save people's lives. Which is interesting because they don't allow... What's it called?
The what?
Research. What research is it? Stem cell research?
Stem cell research, right.
George Bush is very much against stem cell research, again, because it may promote abortions. In other words, a relative has Alzheimer's. And he knows this is a blood relative, and so they're... Tells his daughter, get pregnant, I want to use the fetus for my purposes, saving my life. So therefore, they're very much against that. Again, there may be abuse. But there's 2 million fetuses.
There what?
Which are being, there's 2 million abortions every year. So why not use them?
They're going to do it anyway.
Exactly. So that's so it's forbidden. In America, it's forbidden. It's legal. Illegal to use.
Yeah, we know.
It's but illegal. We don't believe, Jewish law doesn't believe in stem cell research?
Well, where did you come to? That's the second issue.
He didn't say that.
Second issue. I'm just saying the second issue. The third issue.
Wait till he talks.
The sale of organs from corpses. So there's three issues over here. Sale of organs from living people. Fetal tissue. And sale of organs from corpses. And, or stealing.
What?
Stealing organs. How can he steal an organ?
If you're dead.
It happened. Let me tell you the case. The case is a guy in Israel goes to, I think it was Thailand, and he falls down, he goes to hospital, they operate, and he's fine. Goes back to Israel. His father happened to be a professor in medicine, gets a CAT scan. Hey, one kidney is missing.
His what?
His kidney was missing.
They took his kidney. Yeah.
Well, they were operating on something else. I don't know, his spleen.
Grab it.
Exactly. Took out his kidney. He stole a kidney.
Yeah.
This is a true story.
True story.
Yes.
So what did they do about it?
Nothing. What can they do with it? I don't know.
What proof does he have that they did it?
Well, he's missing one organ.
Well, yeah, but
who knows who took it? No proof. So that's the. So let's just discuss briefly the sale of organs. What is the sale of organs? And there are no real references except for one reference. Let's just talk a little bit about that. Because the truth is, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about selling one's blood. Are you allowed to sell your blood? That's what he was asked. And you could say blood is not an organ, but anyway, it covers the similar principle. Donating blood is a tremendous mitzvah. But by selling it, are you belittling the mitzvah or not?
I'll tell you a secret.
He says,
wait,
pardon?
It's not a mitzvah if you're selling it because you're making a profit.
Okay, but are you allowed to?
You're allowed to.
Yes. Would you be allowed to? Yes. You'd be allowed to sell it. According to Jewish law, you'd be allowed to sell it. In America, I don't think they sell blood. They sell blood?
They do.
They give you incentives. Now, they give you a free meal.
Let me tell you, I worked in substance abuse. I took care of a lot of alcoholics.
Okay.
And when they needed money for their alcohol,
they would sell their blood.
They would sell.
How do you sell your blood? You go to a blood bank? They pay you?
Blood bank. They used to pay them $10, $15, whatever, so that they can buy.
There you go. So that's it. Oops. So that's it. So in America, see,
actually,
legal.
The blood they were getting was a little
tainted.
Tainted.
And the guy would get high, but then he'd get his infusion. Whee! I feel good. I feel great.
But it was the wine for Passover.
Okay, so that's the Jewish law as well. Jewish law is you're allowed to sell your blood. It may not be such a big mitzvah, mm-hmm. but you're allowed to sell it. Why? Because people need it.
Mm-hmm. What if you were selling it to have money to keep your family fed?
So then definitely you'd be allowed to.
Right.
Definitely be allowed to. So the question is, what about an organ then? If I could sell my blood, can I sell my kidney? Mm. The answer is, why not?
Because blood replenishes itself.
Okay, but you don't really need two kidneys. You already have two.
Unless the other one becomes bad.
So that's the question.
Don't mention.
So there's two parts to this question. Number one is, are you allowed to give it? And number two is, are you allowed to buy it? There's two real parts to this issue. What about the third party who gets involved as a broker?
This is a Jewish
issue, right? There's a seller,
broker.
There's a buyer, and there's a broker who's making the profits in the middle.
It's talking a Jewish issue.
So the question is, it's not only money, it's playing with human life, really. Playing with human life. The truth is that most doctors do it all the time. Why? They're selling their services.
Yeah.
In a sense, you're a doctor, you're selling your services to save life. There's a broker, that's the people who are involved with the doctors. There's an agency providing doctors, they're getting paid. Someone is paying them, someone is buying the services, someone is paying for the services. There's a broker in between, and there's a doctor who's selling his services. In a sense, it's very similar in that sense. So we see it's being done all the time, not with organs, but with other services in order to save lives. Saving life today is a big business.
I have a Jewish question.
Yes.
They are finding in transplants, in organ transplants, pigs, that they can transplant an organ from a pig.
It's kosher. Mm-hmm. 100% kosher.
Yeah, they're using it for the...
Laws of kosher only apply to eating. If you're not eating it, it's okay.
But if it's going to save your life, you can use the organ.
Yeah. You're not eating it.
They've been doing it for...
To save a life, you can even eat it, which is a hiddush.
What about taking medication?
Same thing. If it saves your life, you're allowed to take medication, which is not kosher.
Okay, but what if it's not saving your life, but easing pain or whatever?
So it depends. If it has a bad flavor, in which case you can't taste where it comes from, it's disgusting. Or it has no flavor at all.
Like she said,
if it tastes like pork, then you have a problem. It doesn't taste like pork. It tastes like manure. I don't know.
I remember years ago...
Glucosamine is from shrimp shells. Is that
It's probably tasteless. Yes, it's allowed.
It is allowed.
Yeah. Anything which is tasteless is allowed. I had to swallow, what is it, shellfish. The dye for the CAT scans.
The iodine.
Is it iodine? It's shellfish. They ask if you're allergic to shellfish.
Sure, I had that for my kidney. Right.
It's like a purple
they
dye.
They use that, they use the dyes that you use.
And it gives you a very warm, tingly feeling.
I never thought of it being non-kosher.
Because I take glucosamine.
And the answer is okay. You're allowed to drink it. Why? Because it has no disgusting
you're
taste.
You're not eating it.
It's not considered eating.
Years ago, there was a problem with pablum.
What's that?
Baby. I had an Orthodox rabbi that taught me.
What is pablum?
Pablum was baby food.
Oh, baby food. That's something else. It tastes like food. That's something else.
But it was for the baby, and even though it was not kosher, it was made with a whatever, it was allowed to give it to the baby.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, thank God we don't have that problem today, but it depends. It depends on the baby. The baby needs it and is suffering. The baby is weak.
Nothing, just oatmeal and chunk. I don't know. How could it not be kosher? Somebody has to get into the act, become an authority.
So the only problem here is selling as opposed to giving. You're allowed to give yogurt. The problem is you may sell it. So what's the difference between selling and giving? So the answer is, does it remove you from your mitzvah? That's the question. So the fact that you're getting money for it, does it remove you from your mitzvah? Or, listen, you're doing the mitzvah and you're getting paid for it. I'm a rabbi. I'm doing the mitzvah and I'm getting paid for it. It's like a bounty. You get the mitzvah and the payment.
Uh-huh.
Or do you say, no, the money comes... So the answer is it depends on intent.
On the what?
On the person's intent.
Uh-huh.
Person only does it for the sake of the money.
That's different.
It's purely money. Person does it for the money and the mitzvah. They get double reward.
But sometimes...
Let me give you an example. Person has a hotel. There's a big mitzvah of having guests.
Right. But now, they have to pay.
Right, they have to pay. So the question is, what is the person doing it for? As if he's doing only pure for the money, he didn't have to be a hotelier. He could have been something else and made more money, maybe. The fact is, maybe, I'm just giving a hypothesis, he opened his hotel only because he wanted to fill the mitzvah, but he can't fill the mitzvah because he's just giving money all the time, so he wants to charge as well. He'll charge a bit less, he'll do the mitzvah, and he'll get paid, so he'll do more mitzvah.
What's the mitzvah of opening a hotel and get it?
Haknasat Orchim, having guests in your house, like Abraham.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Big mitzvah to have guests.
Also, how it could be a mitzvah for getting paid for the organ is that the person who needs the organ wants to do something in return, you know.
So that's more a gift. That's more a gift.
Yeah,
so this is not a gift. This is a purely business exchange.
But here
we're talking about, I don't even know who the person is. There's a broker.
But if you do know, it's a mitzvah to accept the money to give the organ to somebody who wants it.
But in America, it's illegal.
In America,
it's illegal. I'm talking about Jewish law. And so in essence, it's allowed to take money for an organ. It's allowed to take money for an organ. Is it a mitzvah? Depends on your intention. I have a family to feed. I need the money. And I also want to do the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on two sides. Number one is I'm giving my organ, saving someone's life. And number two is I'm saving my family as well because they need money. And this is very common in the third world. The guy comes in India, it's very common. The guy needs money. His children are destitute. They're starving. So now the organ is going to save whole family. His organ, unfortunately, it's a bit of abuse as well. Because they pay the guy minimum amount for his organ. They sell it on a higher. They pay him $6,000. They sell it for $60,000. And the broker makes most of the money. So the broker is the issue, not the person who's selling it.
Oh.
It's really making profit out of this kind of thing. It's
how big the profit, right?
Anyway, the only trouble is that we Jews, it's inconceivable to allow a Jew to get to that stage where the only way he can support himself is through selling his organ.
But it's a one-time deal. You can't kill. I mean, you can sell an organ. Okay.
It's a chastisement for the society that stoops so low that it cannot support its members and lets them go and sell their organ because they need the money. In other words, it shouldn't be reduced to a person who needs money. What about fetal parts?
That's an interesting one.
Taking a fetal part from a viable fetus is forbidden. That's kind of abortion, and that's forbidden. The question is, what about the fetuses which are aborted already? Or what about a baby that's encephalic, whose brain is water, turns to water? And
what you're doing is you're taking the stem cell from the umbilical cord.
He's not talking about that.
He's talking about,
he's talking about the actual fetus.
So the question is like this, and this again is the issue of brain death. The fetus is encephalic, but its lower brain stem is still working.
Yeah.
And we talked about last week
the
big discussion. What is considered brain death? Is brain death where the upper brain is not working, or is brain death where the lower brain is not working?
The left, the right, or anything? No.
The upper and the lower functions. So there's a big debate, discussion over here, and there is opinions that say no. A person is still alive if their lower brain functions are still working. What is the lowest of the brain functions? The hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is like the thermostat of the body. So as long as the body is warm, body's alive, person's alive. Mm. Even though their brain might have no brain waves, even though they don't react, they're still considered alive. According to the strictest opinion of Jewish law, they're still alive if the body is still warm. However, the body is cold, then the person is dead. That's when the brain is considered totally shut off. So there's different levels of shut off of the brain. The upper functions, which is emotions and thought and speech and hearing, all those are the upper functions. The lower functions are basic bodily functions that keep the body alive, the vital signs. So in Jewish law, really, traditionally, it's the heart stops and the person stops respiration, which is the lower functions. They had to come along with this new theory of the upper functions to allow brain death for the sake of cardiac donations. The only reason why they got to this brain death is to allow cardiac donors. They never really needed it. Before cardiac transplants, there was no issues of brain death. It's a new invention to allow cardiac transplants. When cardiac transplants were first started, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said it's a double murder.
But even dead, brain dead.
Why is it a double murder? Because the guy they took the heart out is still alive, and the guy they put into is going to die within a day.
Yeah, we have machines.
That's how
now.
It started. Yeah.
You have a cardiopulmonary machine that keeps the heart and the lungs functioning, even though
yes.
you're dead.
Let me tell you something. How long can a person be on a heart and lung machine and still be hot if they're dead?
Be hot if everything's pumping.
Yeah. How long?
We don't know.
3 to 6 days max.
On a machine. But they
a dead person on a machine cannot be left alive indefinitely. It doesn't go like that. It doesn't work. It stops. Everything stops. The guy's cold.
But the machine...
Because the hypothalamus is dead. The brain is dead. Once it's dead, all the machines in the world will keep the guy going. His brain is turning to water. The guy's dead. His brain is turning to water. It takes between 3 and 6 days for everything to turn cold. The body turns cold. With all the thing pumping and everything, you can't keep a dead man alive. Otherwise, people would do it. That's the proof. You got enough crazies to say, put me on ice. Thousands and thousands of people are doing that. Now, if they knew that you could just keep pumping all the time and they'd be half alive, they'd do it. People would do it. And the trouble is it doesn't work.
You're dead.
You're dead. The person's dead. The brain shuts off completely. So the lower brainstem has got to be alive for the pumping to keep it alive. If the lower brainstem is gone, nothing in the world is going to keep it alive unless there's a miracle of resurrection.
Is Sharon still alive?
Yes, his lower brain functions are working.
Who's Sharon?
Sharon. Ex-Prime Minister of Israel. He's in a coma. But his lower brain functions are working. His body's... Apparently, he reacts a little bit. I don't know what.
When the brain turns to fluid, an alcoholic, his brain turns to fluid. He's got water on the brain.
Okay, that's something else. Okay.
It turns
but not the whole thing. I don't know the whole thing. Encephalic.
He's walking around.
He's walking around. He's alive. Parts of his brain are gone. Definitely.
This can go on indefinitely.
This can go on indefinitely. I mean, there's a lot of parts of the brain to go. I mean.
But there's life, and there's life, and there's life.
No, that's the whole thing. In Jewish law, we don't go like that. There's different parts to quality of life.
Yeah.
But is the person alive or dead? His heart is beating. He's alive. His pulmonary functions are working. He's alive. Breathing. That was a traditional form of death. And that was a traditional form of death till the 1950s in every society in the world.
Put a mirror under your nose.
That's right. Feather, mirror, whatever it is. Till heart transplants. Dr. Christian Bernard changed the status quo. All of a sudden, there's brain death. I thought we talked about it once. The idea that, remember the story of the archer? There was a guy who went to visit the place and he sees all these targets, archery targets, and there's bull's eyes right in the middle of the target. He said, who is the big archer? He said, he lives in the farmhouse over there. He goes to the farmhouse. Old farmer opens the door. Hands are shaking. I'm looking for the archer who shot the arrows in the middle of the target. That's me. I said, how can you do it? He said, first I shot the arrows, then I drew the target. Ethics today. First they want to know where they want to go, and then they'll tell you why it's allowed. So now we need to have brain death. We'll tell you, no problem. Brain death is okay.
Then there's another thing. If somebody dies in a tragic accident where the heart may still be, but there's no way they're going to survive. No way. And they donate all the organs.
Yeah.
The eyes, the heart, yeah. The lungs, whatever. Yeah. Because this person is not going to survive.
Right. So we said, secular law allows it. Jewish law depends. You've got to wait for him to die. You can't just take anything while he's still alive. while his heart is still beating. Wait, second his heart stops, take it right now. But don't take it while his heart is beating. Don't take it when he's still breathing. You've got to wait till everything stops in Jewish law. And that's the danger of signing the back of the license. That's what we said, for a Jew it's a problem. Not just to sign a blanket allowal, because that's what happens. Is the guy's heart is still beating. Not dead yet. Let's take it. He's going to die anyway, so let's take it now. No. It doesn't work like that in Jewish law. Jewish law, you've got to wait till everything stops, and then... So that's the difference. Especially these motorbike drivers. What are they called?
Yeah.
They're called walking donors.
They are.
They call them walking donors. Harley Davidson. Mm-hmm. They turn the corner, they're dead. They bang into a truck, face head on. They end up in the hospital, and they're the best donors. Because they're 40s and they're 40s, and they make the best donors. Okay. So we discussed selling organs. We said it's okay. We discussed fetal organs. We said it depends if the fetus is alive or dead. If it's abortion, no problem. It's already dead, so use the organ.
Well, if it's a fetus, the organs are totally developed.
Right.
They're starting, but what if it's aborted? With a fetal organ that isn't going to fit?
I'm talking about an aborted fetus, which is her gut organs. Are you allowed to use it? And the answer is yes. You can use it for research.
I'm trying to fathom where you're going to put in what body are you going to put a fetal organ?
Nothing. I'm not talking about transplants. Research. I'm talking about research.
For research.
Or for taking the blood cells. Removing cells, they inject with cells, right, for Parkinson's and for
what
Alzheimer's. They try
embryonic
to use
embryonic. If the embryo is fertilized,
same issue. As long as it's still viable, it's a potential life. As long as it is viable, it's a potential life. It should not be interfered with. The only question is if it's in a test tube. That's the question. If it's in a test tube, that's an issue. For a poor woman, she was going through fertility treatments, and she had a baby, and then now she's in danger. The doctor said, you can't use these. So what do I do? Rabbi, what do I do with these fetuses? They're in storage. I'm paying storage money. I said, don't pay them, and let them do whatever they want with them. You should not be the one to say, destroy them.
Because what happens if you don't use it, they throw it away.
That's right, exactly.
So you can't.
So in those cases... That's what I'm saying. Those cases would be allowed.
If it's going to be thrown away, you could use it for research.
It's like an abortion. Being thrown away is like an abortion. They're born again. So then you can use it for research. But it's a major issue today.
It's going to save a lot more lives if they find out what to do with it.
Exactly. That's the Jewish point. However, in America, it's strange. You have all these abortions and they don't use it for research.
No, but the embryos that they have, in Israel they're using it, they're finding a great deal of research.
Israel, there's another problem of too much abuse. Too much abuse. Third world countries, there's a lot of abuse. Who are the leaders in this? Taiwan, what are they? Korea, I think, Korea. They do all this. That's another issue. Okay. So now, what about taking an organ from a corpse? The person's dead, according to everyone. I want to take the kidneys. I approach a member of the family and say, we have a recipient waiting. Family can say yes. Family says no. I'll offer them $10,000. Please, I've got a recipient waiting. My father's waiting for a kidney. Can you sign the paper? I'll give you $10,000. Is that allowed or not allowed? In America, it's not allowed. It's illegal. It's illegal. Unless you do it behind
the guy is dead.
You do it and say it's a gift. It's not, I'm buying it. I just want to give a gift. I'll buy your car. You know, it's off the books. No one knows about this. That's something else. But to draw up a legal document in America and say, I'll give you $10,000 for the organ, so then not allowed to sell organs. So again, Jewish law can be broken in order to save a human life. It's the greatest act that we could do, is saving a human life. Not only that, now let's go one step further. The doctors know that there is a person who died and he has organs available, good organs available. Do they have to ask the family? I'm talking about just pure Jewish law. This is a theoretical Jewish law, which no one follows. Do they have to ask the family? Whose body is it? Do we have to ask the family?
Yes.
That's secular law. In Jewish law, it's not the bodies. The body does not belong to the family. It's God's body. God says you're allowed to break Jewish law for the sake of saving human life. The guy is dead. He has organs. Don't even ask. In Jewish law, you ask the rabbi. Can I take it? What would God say? The rabbi says, take it.
when we bury somebody, we're supposed to bury the whole body.
Yes.
If, God forbid, there's an amputation, you have to bury that part.
Yes, if it has a bone. Anything with a bone has to be buried. If it's an organ, for example, I fell down when I was 15 and ruptured my spleen.
So you don't have a spleen?
There's no spleen, no burial, no nothing. There's no bone in it.
Oh, is that the way
it is? If there's a bone, it's considered an organ. If there's no bone, it's not considered an organ. In other words...
But how is it that we can take out organs if you're diminishing part of the body?
Because you're allowed to break Jewish law for the sake of saving a life. Except for three things. The three cardinal sins. Otherwise, you're allowed to defile the dead in order to save a human life.
You are allowed to defile the dead.
Yes. To save a human life. Human life takes priority over everything else. So the question is, whose body is it? The answer is God's body. So now, do we have to ask the relatives? We don't have to ask the relatives. Well, they do tests today. They do tests today.
Yeah, but you have to do tests in advance.
Yeah, of course. So they do the test in advance. They say it's a match. We know it's a match. Do we have to ask the family in Jewish law? No. Do you have to ask the person who's alive? And the answer is no in Jewish law. He's dead anyway. So that's the answer. It's interesting. And we said that removing an organ of a corpse or performing a post-mortem is not permitted in Jewish law except for saving a Jewish life now. Because we have to know there's someone right now who we can save.
But it's wrong to take it and harvest it until later on. You don't have to you can't harvest it.
Exactly. What about the surgeon who removes the kidney? Is he allowed to get payment for doing so?
Surgeon?
Of course. That's not a good question.
Well, that's his job.
That's his job.
How else are you going to get it out?
Exactly.
I don't think he'd make money to live.
Okay. So that's the answer. Any questions? We'll stop here.
No, I think you covered it all.
Okay. Thank God.
Are you going to...